Okay. Everybody, let's bring it down a little bit. Hi, how are you? I'm Donna Cyrus. I have been in this industry for a long, 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 long time and focusing mainly in the group fitness modalities. So I'm really honored that David asked me to come and be part of this event. It's a great event, and hopefully I can give you some notes or things to think about as you all go back to your locations and your clubs. For the just a couple questions. How many of you have, just raise your hand. How many of you have multiple studios within your facilities? Okay, and then how many have just one group fitness space and that's it, and you have to put everything in one room? Okay, well, good. Nobody. So what we're going to talk about today is basically the background with in-group fitness and how I have worked over the years in bringing our group fitness at Crunch, now currently UFC Gyms, and a couple of other hard candy studios and within the modalities of the big box clubs. So, just to start, these are some basic understandings of how I think group fitness, what it needs to work, why you do what you do, and how do you facilitate it so you have a very successful group fitness program. So, first of all, launch and develop new classes. I think it's extremely important that you're constantly adding new classes, new formats. How do you figure out how to do that? So for me and within Crunch, over the years, what we did was have four different seasonal programs. So obviously, I'm sure you guys all know this, but your budgets are done by the year. So the most important classes and the biggest offering would be obviously January through March. And then March through April, May, spring. So we lighten the load a little bit, but we start focusing on what's coming, which is the summer. And then the summer allows you to do a lot more of a versatile type outdoor-indoor program asset. So you can save a little bit in your budget at that time. The next thing is to improve the existing classes. How do we know and what is the matrix in understanding what works and what doesn't? So this three-month window gives you the opportunity, obviously, to sort of take a look at what's working, understanding how to motivate members to come more precisely into the programs, and then lastly, take a sort of a matrix of that monthly look. So what we've been doing over the years is bringing programs that are outside of the box, looking at what's trending. I know right now there's a whole concern about what's going on in the millennial world and how do we engage them and how do we keep them excited. So looking at what that is right now, the whole HIIT trend is huge. Try to bring as many of those types of classes as you can into the fall and see if we can start to set a trend throughout the year of adding to that, making sure that there's diversity in how many of those different classes you can put in and that each one of them has cardiovascular connection, strength, and flexibility added. Improving the class segment, just understanding the classes of that's attributed to that and the many factors that go around with that. The format. Are you doing 45-minute classes? Are you doing 30-minute classes? The 30-minute model is working because your budget is going to be capable to be able to manage as many of those as you can, and the visual of that makes your program look like you're offering a lot more programming than you really are because of the price point you'll be able to save by having a 30-minute class as opposed to a 60-minute class. Boosting membership. Group fitness is a selling tool. It's fun. It's visual, and it can be used to generate referrals and leads. We always look at it as a nonprofit center, but moving on, we're going to talk about how to take that next step with group fitness and look at it as an added value to your brand. And lastly, retention. Retention clearly is the most important thing that we do with group fitness. You can offer different events, monthly events that you bring on, and members have to attend in order to be recognized. So, for example, like a contest, like a Beachbody contest, you get a basic card. You could take a cardio class and bake that now throughout the spring or the summer, something that you add on monthly. So the participants come in, they get their card, they interact with the instructor gets to know the participant, and they will come each week because they want to get that prize or that membership for free or something at the end of that time. Some other ways to bring in exciting ways to have retention is to like look at what's trending, whether it's a movie factor or something that you can bring with the superheroes or something that you can bring in as a specialty class. So each week the member comes and they learn something else or they get we're working on a different body part. So how are we going to do this? First and foremost, we need rock star instructors. The whole factor of how to keep them coming is how to engage them is to make sure that the instructors that you have are the ones that are pulling them into the venue. A solid schedule. How have you designed your schedule? How have you put it together? What are the options? How versatile is it? Awareness, bringing the awareness from the members into what you're offering, working with your marketing division to make sure that they're very much aware of all new things that you're bringing to the table. And then, of course, lastly, engaging how to get to engage the actual member base, but also engage the people in your club, your marketing people, your front desk staff, your operations management, making sure that all of those people are working in tandem together and group fitness is not something that's just by itself on the side and not part of the party. And lastly, success, the matrix. How are you going to figure out I was really successful in bringing this together and what am I going to do to keep going with that same attitude moving forward? So first of all, your instructors. That's a cheap plug for her. She's a rock star. Hosting open auditions. I don't know right now how you guys are managing your auditions or where you're advertising them, but some key areas would be obviously Craigslist, making sure that you get out in social media when you are doing your auditions, looking in different locations as far as finding members. Instructors are in the front row. People who have been your members for some time now will constantly be in that front row and they want to be there because they want to be the teacher. So making sure to take care of offering this to your member base. Personal trainers. If you bring them in for specific classes and have them work with the instructors, eventually they can be the ones doing small group training and engaging your members in classes as well. Scout out the competition. Check out who your competition is and what they're paying, what the price point is for classes that they're paying their instructors to do. You need to be on the same page as that. I know that's difficult because you have a lot of budgetary issues, but in the meantime, checking out the competition is where your dollars and cents are going to be. Recruit internally, as I said, and in unexpected places. What's going on at the dance studios in your cities? What's going on in actual outdoor sports events? Finding a college, interviewing college students, training within them, and then moving on to outside locations. What's going on in the parks? What are people actually doing training? There's a lot right now going on where people are doing personal training within the parks, and they're creating their own venue of people that are going there. So there's another place to check out what's going on there. So that's where to find them. Now, how to keep them? Offering continuing education, bringing in different modalities that they can get their CECs, their ACEs, and their AFAs, and in making sure that you continue to bring that type of programming to the door for them as well. Host staff meetings. Hosting the staff and getting the staff engaged is extremely important. The more they're engaged, the more they're going to help support the relationship with the instructors. A lot of times, as you all know, the instructor walks in, says hi, goes into the studio, never connects with anybody else in the staff, anybody else at the operations division. So make sure that you're flourishing that, giving them opportunity to work together on projects. Acknowledge the rock stars. Looking at your matrix of how you're paying your instructor is going to give you an understanding of if there's in three groups, when do they get a raise? How do they get a raise? Letting them know that they have the ability to do that instead of feeling that they're always going to be in the same price point. And that's how you manage your budget. Mentorship. As you bring in new instructors to the table, find the leaders in your group and in your schedule and work with them, have them work with these nuances, the newer instructors coming to the table, so that they set up a relationship. They have a relationship with each other. They start to feel like a family and then grow your group that way. They will always be thankful that they had somebody helping them on their way out, on the way up. Competitive compensation. I know that's a tough one, and people are constantly worried that their instructors are going somewhere else, especially in the boutique world that we're living in right now. So manage your budgets accordingly so you have that backup in your budget to take them to the next level as needed. And then lastly, foster innovation from within. There's the innovation of your group fitness program is the most important thing I think that's out there. How do you diversify yourself? How do you diversify yourself from your competitors? What are your members asking for? And then how to make it fun and how to make it build. So here's some ideas on the schedule. Obviously, the YMCA has, you have everyone. You have kids, you have seniors, you have adults, and diversifying your schedule so there's something for all the ages. Most importantly, if the seniors now, there's so many senior programs out there, there's Boom. Obviously, Silver Sneakers has been around for a while. But look at that demographic. We know that demographic is growing. And we know that they're looking with insurance companies and things of this nature to foster programming for seniors. So to add that to your offering is key. Secondary, children's programs. If there's children's programs and that they can do, the mother or father for sure is going to be able to have the freedom to work out more in the club. So I don't know how you guys do that, but if you have questions about any of the programming that's out there, we can talk about that. Turnkey programs, programs with track record. I know a lot of you, I don't know how many have had like Les Mills in your pocket. We talked about this with someone earlier, but things like obviously Zumba. Zumba is a Zumba and a Pound and a few others. They don't cost the club any money. What you can do is host a training, set up trainings quarterly with them. It's also a great way to recruit new instructors and have a set program that's ready to go. Time slots that align with the club's traffic. I'm sure all of you know this, but the 30-minute segment for your lunchtime offerings, the 30-minute segments, also for money saving, because you then can expand your programs back to back, so you have those offerings for lunch. Evening, obviously, making sure that it's balanced between cardio, between strength, between flexibility programs that you offer. Later in the day, the more mindful or key hours, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, so and so, obviously would have the key work. and then maximize and minimize spin. That will help you maximize and minimize the spin. If you 30-minute classes is another way to save money, again, within your schedule, basing when you're offering it. And then lastly, exciting class descriptions. Check out whenever you, I don't know if you have set programs that you must use the same class descriptions. However, if you, what you put in that class description is going to make a huge difference to your member base. It will, it's key in making sure that there's A, not another name like it. So make sure you Google whatever you're using for your class descriptions, but B, the more interesting it is, the easier it is for the press division of your company to get press and offer a more exciting, interesting content. Okay, next, we want to create awareness. How are you letting people know when the new schedule's coming out? And how are you working with your marketing team to make sure that that's what's going on. So some suggestions I have would create buzz, is host a teaser demo for the classes that are coming up on the next schedule. So if you know you have something that's going to be huge for the member base, make sure marketing helps, make sure PR helps, and make sure it's all over the gym so that people are really aware of what's coming on. Ask your instructors to make sure that they promote and announce new offerings in their classes. Work with your marketing team, as I said before, and in-gym signage and 4-up flyers. Use social media to spread the word. Share a teaser video, use descriptive copy, and create a photo of compelling posts on your Facebook page. Special sneak a peek, things of that nature. And the millennial world lives on social media, as we know now. So if something big is coming up, you want to make sure you can put that out into that space. And then outdoor events. For years, we used to do a partnership with Self Workout in the Park. And we would garner a huge amount of members after that. So look into the sponsors that you guys work with. See if you can get an outdoor event going on outside of the club or in the parks or somewhere in your regions or your neighborhoods that would be support for a charity. Sorry, it's going viral on me here. I think I need like some, I think it went here. Here we go. Well, while I'm doing this, does anyone have any questions? Open. There we go. Engagement, member and staff engagement. You all saw all my emails, I'm sure you saw. Member and staff engagement. So many times we're told that group fitness lives in its own world and the operations and everything else is on its, and we're all us against them. So the way I think that the best opportunity to engage each other is to make sure your staff is well educated on what the offerings are going to be and what's coming down the right road. So host a private class for the sales department, for the marketing department, for the front desk team. And really, really engage them to be part of what group fitness offerings are so they can speak to it. Sales, more than anybody else, needs to do this. And a lot of times, there's not a lot of a cooperation in this venue. But I think that if we in the club, everybody has to be one team. Group fitness can't be on the outside and everyone else on the inside. So this is a really great idea of how to do that. Share one sheet, so that they have it at their fingertips when they are in the point of selling. And they can speak, clearly to potential members that are coming in the door. I don't know how many of you guys have done this, but so many times, like, you'll walk by and you'll hear them describe a class, and it is nothing like that. So make it as easy as possible for them to be able to discuss that, talk to potential new members. Create challenges for your members. Create challenges that engage them in wanting to come back, more and more, attending more classes. An 8-week thing like a Beachbody, you can actually take a cardio burst class and change it over into an 8-week program. Say it's on your spring schedule, getting ready for summer and things of that nature. So each week they come, they have a ticket, they get it clipped that they took this class or they took that class. Each one might focus on a different body part. And in doing that, they enter to win a prize. It engages the members. There's a lot of camaraderie with events like that. Holiday-themed classes, another way. Partner yoga, which they bring in their significant other. Or with that, or they just broke up with somebody. So maybe they have an Xboxing syndrome going class that they can offer. So think of fun things like that, especially in the holidays. It's a really, really great way to engage members with each other and have them coming back for more. An event that you could do, maybe it's like a class like Pound, which is sort of more active and fun, and they stay afterwards. Or maybe there is a restaurant or club that's nearby that they can engage in something like that, so they go outside of the club as well as inside of the club. And lastly, encourage certain hours that the members know your group fitness director is going to be available for questions or answers, to keep them engaged and keep them feeling like they have someone to talk to if they have ideas. And next, how do you manage the success of this, the matrix for that? It's always, as we've been saying, group fitness is always directly tied to driving, and it seems like it's on the bottom line of the P&L. So by managing your budgets, and as I said, like, you have an annual budget, make sure that you spend it, accordingly to each season, so that it manages to get you to where you need to be at the end, but with a little wiggle room at the same time. Track attendance. How do you guys, how do you track attendance at this point? I mean, is there someone physically keeping the numbers? My suggestion is to have someone, not the instructor, because they always see a lot more people in the room than there were, but have someone in there counting, making sure. Use an Excel sheet to quantify that, so that by the first month of a launch of a new schedule, you can start to see how you're trending. And then you can manage that all the way through to the second month. And then by gauging that, you can see, well, this isn't, is it the instructor, or is it the time, or is it the class? So that leaves you that last month to be able to manage what your next changes are going to be for the next changing schedule. That makes sense. Identify key performance indicators. Key performance indicator, who is it? Who's teaching that class? And is it the performance of that one individual, and do we need to spread them out? Or should they be offered more classes so that, you're starting to see a trend with that individual or that class? Figure out which of the two things it is, and that leaves you ready for the changeover for your next schedule change, in whether it's spring or summer. And then make these decisions based on matrix. I know for a long time, I'd think, well, I feel like this is going to work, or I feel like that's going to work. We can't do that anymore, and we have a lot of tools that allow us to get a little bit more on the money as far as what is working and what isn't, and making sure that you figure out that number. Is it more than 10? Is it more than 15? And try to stick to that. So if it's not working, you can pull back. Maybe you're offering less, but what you're offering is fully attended. And so does anybody have questions right now we want to talk about, or should specific to group fitness, things that have been on your mind that you want to discuss? Anything? Okay. Everybody has studios, right? Yes. Okay, yes. In general, what I would say is it depends on what your main focus is, what you're known for, and it's also regional. So what works in, say, our Atlanta clubs is a certain type of penetration. Maybe there it's 30% to, you know, well, you're talking penetration as far as how many members walking in the door. So that club is huge with group fitness. 40% of the people walking in that door are going to take group fitness. 60% are going to utilize the actual club more. However, New York City and the factor of in the world of crunch and, you know, so on and so forth, we're known for classes. So 60% of the people walking in the door would be taking classes if it's a more female market. So that's sort of, we try to balance it out accordingly with how much offering for that budget as opposed to the offering for the Atlanta budget. Does that make sense? Anybody else? Yes. That's a good question. So, like 3 years ago, maybe it was more, I'm not sure, but we used to pay by the hour. And we used to be a flat rate if you were starting off. And then there were matrix to get you up to maybe, say, $40 was the average. Matrix to get you up to $50. And then if you were that high end, that 10%, like, you know, 100 people in the room, that's how it was managed. However, that's over with. Over 3 years ago, there was a class action suit. I'm sure most of you guys know all about, or maybe you don't. But between 24, Equinox, and Crunch, we actually started at 24. Basically, the whole what you do from the minute you set it, walk in the door to the end of your class with a little bit of wiggle room to how long it takes you to make create your music or whatever. So we had to change all of the matrix of that so everything was included and there was no set rate. So we'd have to... we had to redo the whole way we work, and that's kind of how it is now. They have to clock in, clock out, and it was based on that hourly rate that they had. So everybody would get something different in payment. Everybody does get something different in payment currently because of that. Yeah. It's kind of daunting. So we rounded it up. To add it all in one bucket because it was starting to be like, you know, the payroll individuals were going nuts. So yeah. Yes, that plus on top of that, if they do anything for you, if they're in an event, or they're doing something that you're doing in club that they're not teaching, everything they do has got to be managed. Basically what she's saying and Ingrid as well. So it's become daunting. There's a lot of, they're putting together right now a scenario within our time clocks that can cover that. So that it's each thing is monitored based on what the individual did. Does that make sense? So it's been, yeah. Yeah, that came up for all of us. Anything else? Yes. So one of the things we do is, when I was talking about an Excel sheet, you're talking about that point, yes. So the closing manager, the individual, whether it's the front desk staff or whoever we decided it is the one that goes in and is doing these, counting the classes, enters that into an Excel sheet. The end of the day, the closing manager puts that into that Excel sheet, and then you can download it at the end of the week. And basically from there, we can see what was the highest attendance, what was the lowest attendance, who was the lowest, you know, which instructor had the most members across the board, which instructor had the least members across the board, looking at the timing. Is it because it's late in the day? Is it because it's, obviously we know prime time is going to have a different number than morning classes or, you know, afternoon classes. All of that stuff we put into a whole system and can able to spit that out to see within the first month how you're tracking and how you're trending. Does that make sense? It's our technology guys. I can't tell you exactly since they designed it, but our technology guys took in all this information and made the matrix of which one of those things this class fell into. And then on top of that, especially at Crunch, I was always about having press and a lot of, you know, making sure that the press classes that we had to keep on the schedule because that's how we would get press. Those were in a system where I did not expect them to follow the same matrix as all the other classes because we needed those things for press purposes. So add it all together, but it was internally created by our technology people, so I can't tell you exactly how they did that. Yes. That's a good one too. Yeah. Yes. Mind body is also a really good option. It doesn't get the details to the, you know, you can that you need specifically for your club, but it does. It is a holding place that will show you that. And then are you guys, how many are your members, are you signing up for classes now, or are they still come as they come if there's space in the room? Because that's another help. Once we started having the members sign up for whatever class that they want, you know, they were going into, it gave us a whole nother understanding of who the demographic was, who was actually in the space, who we could market to, knowing what their likes and dislikes were. So there's another road that helps too, that you can start to market to those people individually. Anybody else? It's Ingrid time. Thank you guys. I'll be around if you have any questions. I will be around all today. Thank you.